And chapter 4, we're just going to read seven verses from 2 Kings in chapter 4, the first seven verses. If you haven't got a Bible, I trust that the words will be read clearly so you'll be able to appreciate them. Now the wife of one of the sons of the prophets cried to Elisha, "Your servant, my husband, is dead. And you know that your servant feared the Lord, but the creditor has come to take my two children to be his slaves." And Elisha said to her, "What shall I do for you? Tell me, what have you in the house?" And she said, "Your servant has nothing in the house except a jar of oil." Then he said, "Go outside. Borrow vessels from all your neighbors, empty vessels, and not a few. Then go in and shut the door behind yourself and your sons, and pour into all these vessels. And when one is full, set it aside." So she went from him and shut the door behind herself and her sons. And as she poured, they brought the vessels to her. When the vessels were full, she said to her son, "Bring me another vessel." And he said to her, "There is not another." Then the oil stopped flowing. She came and told the man of God, and he said, "Go, sell the oil and pay your debts, and you and your sons can live on the rest." So you might be wondering what that is all about, and we've been having a theme of revival, haven't we? And personal application. I think we get a hint of that in there, but we'll be asking Peter to come up shortly and explain this passage to us in more detail and challenge each of us here this evening. But before we do, we're going to sing a hymn, which is number 578 inside the Mission Praise book. Once again, the words will be coming up on the screen. And as we sing these words, they are as follows. "Revive thy work, O Lord, thy mighty arm make bare. Speak with the voice that wakes the dead, and make thy people hear." Last verse, "Revive thy work, O Lord, give Pentecostal showers, the glory shall be all thine own, the blessing, Lord, be ours." Maybe we'll rise and sing again. No, sorry, there's no words on the screen. I'm being waved to from the back, so apologies for that. Yeah, everyone reaches for the book. Sorry about that, but apparently that we can't find that hymn, but it is number 578 in the Mission Praise. If you haven't got one, please get one. But maybe we'll sing then, after the introduction, hymn number 578, "Revive thy work, O Lord."
People here.
Peter, I'd like to hand over to you now. I'm just going to get you a glass of water, actually, as well, because I noticed there's no glass of water down here, but feel free to come up and we'll get you a glass of water.
Well, I'm so glad there's a glass of water, because we do get dry sometimes. I have two lads, and we've been praying for them, and they're both saved. But they stayed with a family where they went to the Birmingham Fair, and they bought some trick sweets that you put in the speaker's water. And my wife had been praying for the two sons, and she said, God is answering our prayer. Our two boys are even going to the prayer meeting. And I thought, that's wonderful. But they weren't. And they slipped some pills in the water speaker. And when he drank it, he didn't know what to do with it. It was terribly bitter. And they were sitting at the back smiling. So you can see we can have problems and difficulties with children. But praise God, they're both saved and they're doing a work for God. I want you to turn to that portion that we had tonight, because I believe it's vital. There are four miracles in this chapter. First of all, there's the multiplication of the oil. Secondly, there's the resurrection of a son. Thirdly, there is the purification of the poisonous pottage. And lastly, there is the extension of 20 loaves. Now, we're just going to take the first. And in the first, we see a woman who has lost her husband. And it's the predicament of repentance. It's the predicament of repentance, yes. Now, this man was a man of God. You say, how do you know? Because of three reasons. He was the servant of Elijah, or Elisha, and he was a good servant. So that was his workplace. Then she called him my husband. Now the word my there means my dear husband. So obviously he was a good husband. So he was a family man. Now some of us can be like seraphims on the platform, but in the home we can be like poisonous snakes. Now we mustn't be like that. What we are on the platform, we must be in the home, and this man was a good husband. In fact, being filled with the Spirit means every part of your life is touched by the power of the Spirit. And thirdly, she was a woman that had a broken heart. You know, when you lose a good partner, it's a great blow. And I shall remember going to the graveyard for 4 years, weeping. And then suddenly, God spoke to me. He said, do you want your Gwendolyn back again? Oh no. Where is she now? In the glory. And she's perfectly happy. She's happier than what you are. And when that came to me, it transformed the whole of my life. I thought, my dear Gwen is with the Lord, which is far better. In the presence of the Lord, there's joy forevermore. And that's where all our loved ones are. And this woman had to learn that lesson. And then She had a landlord that was a wicked man. And quite frankly, had his eyes on those two boys. They must have been strong and they must have been vigorous. And he thought, if only I could get those two boys. Now, this will surprise you. The two boys were worth more than the house in which she owned. He would get 30 pieces of silver, and he wouldn't get that for a little house, but for those two boys, he would get 30 pieces of silver, and he was determined to make them bondmen. Now, what a lesson. If we're going to see the goodness of God, we must have our home life, our work life, and also our personal life with God right. It's no good being one person in the home and another person in the church. What we are on the platform, we should be in public. And where there are arguments and quarrelling and things like that, that often happen in a Christian home, there can't be the blessing of God. This man was a good servant in the workplace. Secondly, he was a good servant in the home. And then lastly, he was a good servant with God. He feared God. Now, the word fear is wonderful. It doesn't mean that he always trembled at God. The word fear incorporates faith. And it means that he had faith in God. Secondly, the word faith has the idea of being intimate with God. And lastly, the word faith has to do with not only intimacy with God, but he was a man that feared God lest he should sin and grieve him. Wouldn't it be lovely if that fear marked us? Those of us who are married and who have lost loved ones, you know the bitterness of bereavement. You've wept many times over your loved one, but they're with the Lord in the glory. May that cheer our hearts. I was only saying last night, we live in this body for approximately 5 seconds and then we're out. I'm 90 and I've had most of my time. 70, isn't it, the duration? And I've been in the departure lounge for well over 20 years. But you see, this is the lovely thing. We're going to have a body that the Holy Spirit will make like unto his glorious body. And that's where we're going to live forever. And what a wonderful joy it is that we're with the Lord like that. But then, what about the bondman? This creditor must have been an awful man. I dislike him. And he had his eyes on those two sons. And all he wanted was to apprehend them so that they became his bond slaves. Now, here's the point. When God takes godly men and they're not replaced, our children can be in danger. Satan can come in and he's the creditor and destroy them. Now, why is it that so many of our young people are caught up with the things of the world and caught up with pop music and things like that that will never bring the blessing of God? Why is it? Because we lack godly men. And when there are godly men like deacons or elders in the church, there's a protection. You say, where's your scripture for that? There's more about the Holy Spirit in the Ephesian epistle, right? We see in the first chapter that every believer is sealed with the Holy Spirit. And then we see in the eighth chapter the great doctrine of the Holy Spirit. But why do our not young people see this and grab hold of it and become mighty men of God? Because when God takes away godly men, like this man was godly, and they're not replaced, our children become bondmen. I remember being in a big youth meeting and there was a pop band. And it was so loud I could hardly hear. And they were all doing overtime on the guitars and the drums. And I just said, Lord, is this right? We're trying to bring in worldly practices with the world's ways, and we never see real blessing like that. And then I said something that was naughty. And I hope I never say it again. I said, stop the band. And would you believe it, the fuses went. And they were all playing, but nothing would operate. I said, don't let them find out what's wrong, Lord. And we had to stop the meeting, and then the leader of the band said, Mr. Brandon, we can't find what's wrong. The fuse has gone and we can't get it going. Would you come up and speak? And what a meeting we had. The power of God fell on that building and many were saved that night. Now I went to the young men, I said, you feel so disappointed, don't you? Perhaps there's a quieter way of reaching people than what you have now. And that band changed completely. And praise God, they're being mightily used of God. But they're not breaking eardrums. Oh no. They're playing music that people can understand and be blessed. So can you see, we don't need these hard landlords. We need godly men that will pray for the young people that they may be complete in Christ. And when you have those godly men, you have young men that will become bond slaves of Christ. I was going to say something, but I don't think I ought to. I'm just praying. But this woman was brought to a state of poverty. She comes to Elijah. And she's got a burden. And she says this. The creditor has come to take my two sons to be bondmen. And she's so earnest about it that she disturbs Elijah. He said, oh, what shall I do for you? She's like that woman who came and said, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while. And she said, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet for this widow I will deal with her, lest she black my eye. That's the meaning of the word, to wound. This woman was so determined to get what she wanted from that unjust judge. He said, if I don't answer her, she'll black my eye. Imagine having a woman like that for your wife. But she got what she wanted. Now, that's the kind of prayer that God wants. People who come into his presence and groan in the presence of God for the blessing of the Lord. You know, if only we would pray more. You see, when we hear a speaker, the speaker may be a brilliant man, and we might get a blessing from it. But when we come to God and pour out our hearts to God, we are dealing with a person who can actually answer our prayers. Take, for instance, Martha. When she went to the Lord, she said a very simple thing. She said, Lord, if you had been out here, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. That's wonderful. But did she believe that? She said, even now I know that whatsoever thou would ask of God, God will do it. You say, that's wonderful. And he was dead. The body was decomposing. And then she said, I know that you're the resurrection and the life. Theologically, she was sound. But when the Lord tested her, she went to pieces. She said, you can't do that, take away the stone. Behold, he stinketh. Now, what does this mean? We can have a great knowledge about God, but do we trust him? And then she went to her sister and she said, the master is come and calleth for thee. But we don't read that the Lord was calling for her. And immediately Mary heard that, she was off. But look at the difference. She said exactly the same as what Martha said. Lord, if thou hast been here, my brother had not died. But look at her attitude. She came in tears. She came weeping. And when we come weeping and we're broken before God, then God can do something. But more than that, she fell at his feet. Now, Mr. Darby brings in the right translation. It means she fell upon him. And by that act, she was saying, I know he is dead. I know if you were here, we wouldn't have death. But even now, I believe that you can heal him. And that was really an impossible prayer in one way. His body was decomposing. But she said exactly the same as her sister, but she cut out all the theology and she was just saying, Lord, I believe. You know, it's possible to have all the theology about revival and yet not trust the Lord to do it. Save us from big-headed Christians. And here was Martha. She didn't parade her Pharisaical knowledge, although she believed it just as much as Martha. But in her heart, she believed that the Lord could raise him. So the Lord said, where have ye laid him? She said, come and see. And they came to a stone, and would you believe it, Martha was there. He came to the grave. He said, take away the stone. And then Martha exposed herself. By this time he stinketh. He's been dead for over 4 days and decomposition has taken place. And you can't take away the stone and let the people peer in and see my brother decomposing. The Lord then rebuked her and said, if thou wouldest believe, all things are possible. She didn't say she believed, but Mary did. And when the Lord got to the grave, he didn't look into the grave. The people did. He looked where there was life. And then he said, Lazarus! Come out! And he came out. And then he said another thing. Loose him and let him go. He gave life, but he wanted them to give liberty. Now, if you're all bound up, you can't liberate, no matter what you know. You can only liberate when you're free. Now, do you know what I'm finding? I have tried to understand the scriptures well, but just understanding the scriptures does not give me power. It's understanding intimately the Lord. And when we know the Lord intimately, he can do miracles. This woman, she comes, and she doesn't spend hours sobbing. She comes and spends hours praying. The more you sob and you're brokenhearted over bereavement, the harder it becomes. But when you get to the Lord, all the difference. And Mary got there, and there were those that could liberate a man that was a slave. And I think I must say this again. All the ministry that I have given that has been experimental has never been blessed of God. It's only when we are liberated ourselves we can liberate others. Loose him and let him go. And when he was loosed, he looked lovely. People looked through the window and said, "Is that Lazarus that was dead?" "Yeah, look at him." He was a silent wonder. Didn't say a word. Just shone out resurrection light. Martha, she prepared a great meal, not only for the family, but for all the disciples, and not a word of grumbling was heard. She was a silent worker. And Mary, she took an alabaster box of ointment and broke it on his feet, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. A silent worshipper. Not one word was spoken, but all the joy that filled that house. This woman, her poverty, she says, "Thy handmaid hath nothing save a cruse of oil." Now comes the question. Is there a definite scripture that says oil is a picture of the Holy Spirit? Yes. Where is that found, Mr. Brandon? Zechariah 4. And in his vision, he sees a lampstand, all of God, and right at the top of it, there's a receptacle of gold. And coming from that receptacle, there's two golden pipes going to olive trees. And the oil is flowing from the olive trees down into the receptacle and through the seven lamps to each lamp. He says, "Do you understand what this means?" Now, what was he expecting? He was expecting to see a mighty army. He was expecting to see a great crowd of soldiers that would slaughter the enemy, but not a bit of it. It was oil. And then this was the lesson. Do you understand what you see? No, I'm disappointed. It's not by might, nor by power, but through my Spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Ah, you say, but he can only do small things in the last day. Not a bit of it. Who art thou, O great mountain, become a plain? It's like the great mountain of the Assyrian Empire, or the Medes and Persians Empire. Is that a small thing? It was one of the greatest mountains on earth at that time. That will become a plain. And he will shout, grace, grace unto it. What then does it mean? We need people who can pray to God and claim God and believe that God will work. That was Mary. Martha had a head full of Pharisaical theology, but when it came to the test, she was utterly failed. You see, it's when people pray in faith that God begins to work. Now, I know there are some like me, and you've lost a loved one, and that loved one was a godly person. And you can sob through the whole of your life, but don't do that. Come to a point in your life when God gives you victory, and you begin to rejoice that your loved one's in the glory, and you're going to be with her soon. Here was the man, and she prayed in faith. And God was about to work. Now, my speaking now is appalling. And I feel it as I'm speaking to you. My brain power is not what it was a few months ago. It's gone. But God can still use us in our weakness. And I sense tonight there could be the power of God manifested in this place. Do we close the meeting immediately until another series? Or do we say, let God go on working, and we'll go with God? And God could break out in mighty power and cleanse us and purge us and fill us with the Spirit. And this could be the beginning of new days for God. So she says to her sons, right, now I've got information, and God's given me wonderful provision. I want you to go round the neighbours and tell them all about your danger, and tell them all about the landlord, the creditor, and ask the neighbours if they've got any vessels, so that we can sell the oil. And you can imagine one boy nervously knocking at the door, and the lady comes to the door and he says, you know, Dad has been taken. And the landlord's come and he wants to take us as slaves. Oh, terrible. Have you got a few vessels for us? And she goes out and she brings in the vessels, and some of the vessels would take 2 gallons of oil. And there was a little pot. And there would be this calculation. How is that little pot of oil going to fill these big pots? And then one lady would give golden pots. Another lady would give copper pots. And quite frankly, when you got to the room and got to the house where all the pots were giving, it was quite comical looking at all the different kinds of pots. But only one pot of oil. But they were all borrowed pots. You know what we did in the old times? We used to send the tea and the saucers to the conference, and we put a ribbing around them so we got them back. you remember that? Well, now, the pots were all back, and obviously they were all marked. Not one of them belonged to that woman. They were all borrowed vessels. Now, great death. We're not our own. We're bought with a price. And over us there's the word sold, and what a price, the precious blood of Christ. And he wants us to realize we're just borrowed, that's all. We belong to the Lord. And one day he'll give us a new body like unto his glorious body. Wonderful. But look at the variety. You can imagine one son lifting up the pot of oil and looking for that vessel and say, well, you wouldn't know that the oil was put in that vessel. There were all kinds of pots there. And with God, there's a glorious variety. There are teachers, there are preachers, there are exhorters, and we're all different. And yet, there's one thing that marks us all. We teach and we preach in the power of the Holy Spirit. And we mustn't be jealous of other people. That's the trouble. Someone becomes a leader of in a local church and he gets jealous. And people get jealous of him. Now, we mustn't be jealous. Why? Because these gifts are from God. And therefore, the edification of the glory of God. And then it started. A mother would say, right, bring the vessels. And one boy would bring one big vessel and he would say, this is going to be a living miracle. And he would pour in and kept on pouring in and he kept on pouring in and he would say, it's full, mother! As the oil gone? No, still full, son. Oh dear, he said, this is a miracle. They were all shut in, and the miracle was going to take place. And every vessel was filled. And when it was filled, it was set aside to be used. He would never use an unfilled vessel. All the vessels were filled and they were all set aside. You know what I'm thinking of? Acts chapter 4. They were told not to heal in the name of the Lord Jesus. They were told not to work miracles. But they prayed against the Sanhedrin. They prayed that they might be filled with the Spirit and filled with boldness. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled. Beloved, I know this is tough, but I'm saying it to you in love. If we were all filled with the Holy Ghost, all of us, every brother and sister, this meeting would be entirely different. There would be a flowing out to this area and you will see people coming God conscious. You say, have you seen that yet? A night when God broke his people and they wept in the presence of God. The same night we got out of that meeting, the same day, the same, about 6:30 in the morning, at 8:30 while preaching, that same night, four men jumped up and cried out to be saved. What was it? A great preacher? No! God answering prayer. And when there's cleansing and purging and God's people are filled with the Spirit, there's blessing. As simple as that. and set aside that which is full. Well, when it was done, the lady went along to see Elijah. Thank you for the oil. Thank you for the oil. Well, what do we do now? Well, he said, go and sell the oil. And what is selling? It's trading. And what is trading in Scripture? It always speaks of preaching. Go and sell the oil. And then pay the debt. Deal with the enemy. Deal with the creditor. And he would receive his money and that would be it. They would never be his bondmen, but they would be the Lord's bondmen. And live thou on the rest. Now what a teaching this is. We need to preach and teach in the power of the Spirit. That's vital. We need also not only to preach and to teach in the power of the Spirit, we need, and this is very important, to fear God. So that in our normal meetings, not our special meetings, but in our normal meetings, there's an awareness of the presence of God. And in our normal meetings, there is the awareness of the peace of God. And in our normal meetings, there's the awareness of the joy of God. Where have all the hallelujahs gone? If someone says amen, praise the Lord, you think he's charismatic. Well, there are two kinds of brethren, the charismatics and the rheumatics. You can choose what you want. But you see, this is a fact. When we get back to the presence and the power of God, God begins to really move. And then lastly, live thou on the rest. What does that mean? Walk in the Spirit. Live in the Spirit. Be constantly filled with the Spirit. And without the power of the Holy Spirit, what are we? Useless. You say, well, God met me 2 years ago. Has he met you in a week ago? You see, 2 years ago, something great may happen, but after that you may lose first love. And therefore we need to be constantly filled with the Spirit. Well, that's my time gone. But wouldn't it be lovely if that happened? I wonder if we could spend a little time in prayer. You know, in South Africa there was a movement of the Spirit, and I was telling you the other night, I got there at 6 o'clock and we opened the door and there were 200 people on their knees, brothers and sisters, crying to God, and I knew that was the work of the Spirit. Wouldn't it be lovely if something like that happened here among God's people? So that God could break out in mighty power. Are you tired of the dead meeting? Are you tired of mechanicalism? I am. Loathe it. I sometimes sit with God's people in this silence and I thought, what's gone wrong, Lord? But it's lovely when God's people humble themselves before God and God begins to work in mighty power so that we preach in the power of the Spirit. We live in the power of the Spirit. And the awe of God fills the room. Do you know, in Wales, when God was moving in mighty power, brothers and sisters almost argue who would go to the prayer meeting. Why? Because they knew God was going to work mightily in their prayer meeting, and they all wanted to be there. Oh, may God do something like that again. Can we spend just a little time quietly in prayer, waiting on God so that he might move in power? Let's pray. Lord, we just pray right now that we may see all the vessels, all the borrowed vessels, filled with the Holy Spirit, and the Lord setting aside those that are full. And we pray, O God, that we may preach in the power of the Spirit. Not an outsider, but those who are in the local church. Those who are called of God. We pray too that in our prayer meetings we may bind the enemy so that young men are no longer bondmen to the things of the world, but they'll be liberated. We pray too that we might see God moving in such a way that we shall live constantly in this Spirit-filled life. Lord, make that real to each one of us. Let this not be a theory, let it be a real living fact. And Lord, as I'm praying, start with me. You know I've got this dementia. You know I'm not able to remember the scriptures that I used to a few months ago. But Lord, in weakness you can still use. And all we pray that all of us may be used of God. Lord, grant this in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.